Are you excited to be in the house of the Lord today? Man, I am excited. Glad to come and just kind of get rid of the week. Amen. Show me one thing that's too hard. Show me waters he can't part. He's the God of the breakthrough, and anything is possible. It's possible. Show me one thing that's too hard. Show me waters he can't part. He's the God of the breakthrough, and anything is possible. Is it possible?
Do you believe that anything is possible? Would you just raise your hand and just give the Lord just a praise? Lord, we praise you. We thank you this morning that, Lord, your word says that anything is possible with you. And so, Lord, no matter what we're facing this morning, no matter what's happening in life, Lord, whether we're in the valley today or we're on the mountaintop, God, we know that with you all things are possible. And so we pray right now for the service this morning. We pray that you would be in this place. We pray, Lord, you would meet needs. Lord, that you would lift hearts. And Lord, you would strengthen, Lord, and encourage us today. Lord, we ask right now that your presence would be in this place. Lord, because if you're here, anything is possible. Lord, we thank you today that you are in this place. And we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to worship you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Would you turn and greet someone this morning as we begin service? Amen. Amen, amen. Hope you got to greet some people. Hope you got greeted by multiple people. A couple of you, I will not say who, but a couple of you, when I said greet, you headed for the back door. So I don't know what that means. Either you didn't want to be greeted or you didn't want to greet. I don't know what that meant, but glad to have you all in the house this morning and hope that you are blessed. What I want to do right now is just welcome you and say, hey, if you are a first-time visitor, this is your first time here, maybe it's your second time here and we didn't catch you last time, would you look in the seat back in front of you and grab one of these cards and fill it out for me? That would be perfect. That'd give us a record of your attendance and help us to know that you came and visit with us today, help us to be able to say, hey, thanks for coming. And if you fill out the card, then you could put it in the offering that's going to pass in just a little bit, and we would really appreciate it. If this is not your first time here, we want to say welcome back. Thanks for being here today, and I'm praying, I'm hoping, I know Pastor Steve is hoping that you will be blessed today by the worship, by the message, and all that happens here, and we're excited that everyone is here in the house. How many of you are excited the air conditioning is working? Come on. Yes. Let me tell you something. You know when you start to appreciate the air conditioning is when your air conditioning in your house breaks. When it goes down like it did in my house on Friday, I got in the flesh a little bit. You know what I'm saying? I said, Lord, you're going to have to deliver me from this situation. I was near death's door. I really was. My parents said I was being a little dramatic, and in the moment I disagreed with them. Now I'm seeing a little more clarity, and so I'm just glad to have air conditioning. And how many of you deal with first world problems? Come on. All right, that's a first world problem. All right. You know, Starbucks runs out of your favorite drink, Sonic drive-through, you know, is closed down, or your air conditioning goes out. Any one of those three, the trifecta, and life changes. But all right, I'm moving on. Pastor's looking at me. I got some announcements for you this morning. First of all, I want to just tell you that Connect Groups will begin back in September. We're just reminding you now that they're coming up soon. If you're interested in leading a Connect Group, I'd love to talk to you about that, and would be excited to have you help us in that way. And so if you'd like to come and talk to me, or come see Pastor Steve, and we'll direct you in the right direction, point you there. Tomorrow we leave. After all these weeks and months of fundraising and talking about it, tomorrow the youth department, a group of 22 of us, leave to go to the Denver Dream Center. We are excited about heading that way. And thank you so much for those of you who have helped us to raise money. And we're asking now that you would pray for us. And so we have some clipboards in the back that there's a place for each meal that we're gone, that if you'd be willing to fast and pray. If you can't fast, still you can sign up and say, hey, I will pray for you during this meal time on Tuesday at lunch. I'm going to just take time and eat a burrito and pray for you. All right. Come on. How many love burritos? Let's go. There we go. All right. Whatever it may be. And so we'd love for every spot to be signed up for by the end of the day. That would be like 21 different meals, 7 days times 3 meals a day. So I just need 21 people at least. If they all fill up, we'd love for you to have a couple of people that are praying for us the different meals. That'd be awesome too. And what we do is this: I will make a copy of that before we leave, and that way I'll know who's praying for us at each meal. And I'm telling you, it makes a difference. How many of you know prayer makes a difference? Come on, come on. Also, missions team will have a meeting after service, and so we'll want to meet right down here, and we're going to just make sure we're all on the same page. And so also, kids camp's coming up July 25th to the 29th. And so if you have a kid that's going to kids camp, Pastor Chad has all that information, and it will be here before we know it. And so we want you to remember that and know that that's coming soon. Well, we ask the ushers to come as we receive of the tithe and offering this morning. Amen. Come on. Amen. As they come, I want to remind you, on Wednesday nights we have a lot of great stuff happening. Adult service in here, kids activities, and then the youth. If you look on the back, you'll see all the things that we do each Wednesday. We've still got the car bash, which some of y'all still don't understand why we do that, but it's just fun. It's fun to take a perfectly good car and smash it. And we also have a night of serving giant nacho palooza, which don't ask if you don't want to know. And then our back to school bash. And anyway, we have lots of fun activities for junior high and high school students. Love for you to be a part of each of those things. Let's pray with a tithe and offering this morning. Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, that it is such an honor to serve you. And we thank you that we get to do that through our giving. Lord, we pray and ask right now that you would just create in our hearts a cheerfulness, a cheerful giver. And Lord, would you take all that's given, multiply it, and further the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name, amen.
After you have an opportunity to give this morning, stand back up and let's go back into worship.
You've been down long enough, no more walking in shame, 'cause the way that he loves you isn't something you can change. You've been running in circles, but you can't hide from grace, 'cause the way that he loves isn't something you can change. Just like Lazarus out of that grave, our God rewrites history. Jesus, you change everything when you pour your spirit out. Just like Silas singing with Paul, praise can break down prison walls. Jesus, you can have it all. Won't you can trust in his name, 'cause his burden is easy and he's perfect in his ways. You can run to the Father, there's no reason to wait, 'cause his arms have been open, and that's not something you can change. Change everything when you pour your spirit out, just like Silas singing with Paul. Praise can break down prison walls. Jesus, you can have it all. Won't you pour your spirit out? Pour your spirit out. Pour your spirit out. Pour your spirit out. Watch the door swing wide open. Roll back that stone.
Roll back that stone.
Roll back that stone.
Roll back that stone.
All we have to do is just ask, seek, knock. Watch the door swing wide. Jesus, you change everything when you pour your spirit out, just like Silas singing with Paul. Praise can break down prison walls. Jesus, you can have it all. Won't you pour your spirit out? Pour your spirit out. Pour your spirit out. Pour your spirit out.
Let your spirit just be poured out on us this morning, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. You glorify your name, Jesus. God, just let your spirit just pour out over us this morning, God. Let it just saturate our hearts and our lives today, Jesus. We glorify you, Jesus. We praise your name, Jesus. You're so worthy. We worship you, Jesus.
God of Jacob, whose love endures through generations. I know that you will keep your covenant. I'm calling on the God of Moses, the one who opened up the ocean. To do the same thing for me, Jesus. Oh God, my God, I need you. Oh God, my God, I need you now. How I need you now. Oh Rock, oh Rock of Ages, I'm standing on your face.
Looks like, no matter what our days look like, God, you're the same God.
Lord Jesus, that means when I'm in the valley, when I'm not doing things, when I'm feeling things that are hard, Lord Jesus, when I'm in a bad mood or things are coming against me, and God, you're the same God as when I'm not in a bad mood. God, you're the same God as when I'm happy and when I'm joyful and when things are always going right. I'm so thankful, Jesus, that it's not dependent on my emotions what kind of God you are. I'm so thankful, Jesus, that no matter how I feel, you are still the God that has all the power, Lord Jesus. You are still the God that holds all of this creation in your hand. Jesus, no matter what I face, no matter what the enemy tries to steal from me, no matter what the enemy tries to throw at me, God, you are the same God that takes care of me, Jesus. Your word says you clothe the lilies and how beautiful they are, but how much more you love me and how much more you will take care of my needs. Thank you, Jesus. God, I can do nothing but just praise you this morning. God, I praise you, Lord Jesus, because you are worthy of everything that we have. God, you are worthy of all the praise that we can offer you. Jesus, any song, any word that can come out of my mouth, God, is due to you because of how great you are. I praise you, Jesus, and I love you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for all that you do for me. God, thank you, Jesus. Thank you so much, God. Just thank him this morning. Just tell him how much you thank him. Just tell him how much you appreciate all that he does. Because he is so worthy and he deserves our praise and he deserves our thankfulness and our gratefulness. Jesus, I worship you, God. God, I worship you, Jesus. I praise you, God.
Where I lay it down, every burden, every crown. This is my surrender. This is my surrender. Here is where I lay it down, every lie and every doubt. This is my surrender. Every lie and every to do whatever.
How many of you would agree that God's way is better? That's what our youth missions team is going to be proclaiming as they go to Denver this week to minister to people there in the inner city, to tell them that God has a better way for them to live. I'd like for us to pray for all those. If you're going on the missions trip, come and stand down here, and we want to pray for you. I think there's 22. I don't know if all of them are in here. Some may be over at Children's Church, actually. There's a few more that's missing, so. It's quite a group, huh? Let's pray for them. Let's pray that God will give them a safe trip there in the back and a productive time. Stretch your hands towards them right now. Father, we come to you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, God, for the opportunity that you've given this group to go to Denver, to minister, to tell the people there that there is a better way, that there is a good way and an eternal way and a way of peace that they can find, and that is in you, Jesus. I just pray, Lord, that you would be with each one of these. I pray that you would just watch over them. I pray for safety on the vans as they travel there and back. I just pray that you would get them there safely and back. We pray, Lord, for divine appointments. We pray for life change, not only in the people they minister to, but in these that are here before us today. I pray that you just do something in their heart special. Lord, just call them to serve you even in greater measure, Lord, than they have in the past. Lord, just put a passion and a fire for you, Lord, in their hearts, that they're going to always live for you and serve you wherever they can and however they can. So, Lord, just watch over them, we pray. And we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. As you're seated, I want to mention a couple other prayer needs. Continue praying for RJ Bird family, that they will be comforted in the loss of their grandson. They had the service on Thursday. Just pray for the Lord to continue to comfort them. Robin Boggs' cousin, Becky Cox, has cancer, still needs a prayer without a miracle. She's maybe going to heaven soon, but how many of you know God can change those things? God can make a difference. And so she's only 51, and she loves Jesus. And so, you know, it will be a loss for those who leave behind. It will certainly be a gain for her. But we would love for her to be around a while longer. So let's pray for her. Larry Newell is having surgery on Wednesday, major surgery. We want to pray for Larry. And also Pam needs the Lord's touch. And then one of the missionary places that we support is the American Indian College in Phoenix. I got word that the president there, his name is Jonathan Gannon, Jonathan and Monica Gannon. They have six children. Their three youngest daughters were traveling with their children's pastor as they were getting ready for VBS and were hit head on by another car. Their youngest daughter, who's 11, was killed in the car wreck. And the 14 and 16-year-old daughters have injuries that they'll be recovering from. The children's pastor is still in the hospital as well. They had just taken a break to go get some dinner. while they were setting up for VBS, and a car came across the median and hit them head on. So this is a missionary unit, a college that we support monthly, $100 a month. Our church has been supporting them now for a couple years. And so we want to pray for the Gannon family. Would you just join me in prayer this morning? Father, we just lift up these needs today. We do pray for Larry, and we just pray that you would just be with him as he has surgery on Wednesday. I pray that there is no complications, but it's successful. We pray for Pam that you would just touch and minister to her need, Lord. We pray for RJ and his family, Lord, as they continue to see the loss of their grandson. We just pray that you would bless their family with your peace. We pray for Becky that you would touch her, Lord, and that you would just give her a miracle if that's your desire, Lord. If her time on earth is not done, we just pray that you would extend that, Lord, and that you just heal her of this cancer. Father, we do pray for the Gannon family. We pray that you would just comfort them in the loss of their daughter in this wreck. We just pray, Father God, that you would just minister peace to them and minister to the other two daughters who are recovering and the children's pastor who's recovering, Lord. We just pray, God, for this family right now. We just pray, Lord, that you would just meet every need today. We just thank you, Lord, for each and every person that's here. And we just pray that you would move in this service, move in the message this morning, speak to our hearts. Lord, touch our nation, we pray in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen. Praise God. Take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 2, verse 21. Title of the message this morning is The Scarlet Cord of Redemption. The Scarlet Cord of Redemption. Just going to read one verse at this moment. We will be reading some others as we develop the story here that we want to look at. But just this one verse, I accept your terms, she replied. And she sent them on their way, leaving the scarlet rope hanging from the window. How many of you are familiar with this story? Okay. All right. I know many of you are. Some of you may not be. But I believe there's some powerful truths from this story that we want to look at this morning. So, Father God, we just pray your blessing on the message. We just pray that you would open our hearts and our minds and our ears to the truth. Lord, if there's somebody here today that doesn't know that they are loved by you, that they are precious to you, and that they have accepted you as their Savior, I pray that you would speak to their hearts. I pray, Lord, that they would come into relationship with you and become a child of God. Or those watching online, if they're someone today that doesn't know you as their Lord and Savior, touch them, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. The Scarlet Cord of Redemption. This is a beautiful story of God's amazing grace. It typifies our own plight as worthless sinners, yet true to the heart of a loving God says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Aren't you thankful for that verse in Romans 10:13? Whosoever, doesn't matter if you're rich, poor, ugly, beautiful, short, fat, tall, skinny, got money or don't have money, God says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Throughout the entire Bible, you can trace a scarlet cord of redemption. It runs all the way from Genesis to Revelation, where you can see God typifying and exemplifying his plan to save people through the blood of Jesus. It starts way back in the Garden of Eden when Jesus shed animal skin. The life of animals and shed the blood of animals to cover the sin of Adam and Eve right from the very beginning. And then all the way through clear to the end of Revelation, we can see this cord of redemption. Our text that we just read to you is the final act of a two-part drama in the life of a lady named Rahab. It says, and she tied the scarlet cord there in the window. She left the scarlet rope hanging from the window. We've got 6 points to message this morning on the scarlet cord of redemption. Number one, first point is Rahab's faults. Everybody say Rahab's faults. Rahab had some faults. Joshua 2 and verse 1 says, then Joshua secretly sent out two spies from the Israelite camp at Acacia Grove. He instructed them, scout out the land on the other side of the Jordan River, especially around Jericho. So the two men set out and came to the house of a prostitute named Rahab and stayed there that night. Rahab was a prostitute. Rahab was the bottom of society, an outcast. And so she had a lot of faults. Nothing in her life could cause God's grace to shine upon her. But God saw something in her, and God saw what would happen later in the life. And I don't think it was an accident that these two spies came upon her house and stayed there. I think God had a plan in action, because you see, God cares about people. And so this lady, like us, needed a Savior. The Bible says that all we like sheep have what? Gone astray. Every one of us are in need of a Savior. Romans 3:20 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3:10 says, there is none righteous, no, not one. You see, whoever has broken just one command has literally guilty of them all. So we are no different than this lady named Rahab, this prostitute. Her faults are not any different than our faults, because just one sin can separate you from the love of God. And so her faults are our faults. Her hand nailed Jesus to the cross. Your hand nailed Jesus to the cross. We all have faults, and we all need a Savior. So we're on the same ground as Rahab. Rahab needed the Lord. Rahab needed the Savior. You and I need the Lord. We need the Savior. This world needs the Savior. And the world needs to understand that there's nothing that's too bad or too far or too away from God's plan that God cannot reach down and save. There's nobody that's too far from God to save. There's nobody that's too difficult. Rahab had faults. You and I have faults. And that leads to the second point, Rahab's feet. And I don't mean her physical feet, but I mean F-E-A-T. Something she did, something she accomplished. Look at Joshua 2, verse 2. But someone told the king of Jericho, some Israelites have come here tonight to spy out the land. So the king of Jericho sent orders to Rahab, bring out the men who have come into your house, for they have come here to spy out the whole land. Rahab had hidden the two men, but she replied, yes, the men were here earlier, but I didn't know where they were from. They left the town at dusk as the gates were about to close. I don't know where they went. If you hurry, you can probably catch up with them. Actually, she had taken them up to the roof and hidden them beneath bundles of flax she had laid out. So the king's men went looking for the spies along the road leading to the shallow crossings of the Jordan River. And as soon as the king's men had left, the gate of Jericho was shut. Well, what was Rahab's feat? What was it that she did? She did what? She hid the spies. She hid the spies. And she even lied about it. Some people say, well, that's not right. She shouldn't have lied about it. No, she shouldn't. But you know what? Lying was her nature. She probably, as a prostitute, had to cover a lot of husbands who came to her, or people that came to her. She was used to lying. And so it was totally within her nature. How many of you know God knows and comes to you even in our sin nature? He knows what we're about. And so even, and I love the trueness, the authenticity, the down in the dirt, so to speak, down where we live nature of the Bible. It paints it clear that she was a prostitute, that she lied. She did hide these two men. She did something because, and we're going to find out why in a moment, but she did something. She felt like she needed to hide these two men because of, and we'll get to that in a moment, but she lied about it. When they asked her about it, she said, no, they're gone. They went on. They left early this morning. And so you see, God is reaching out to her heart, and she is responding. God is reaching out to this lady who needs the Lord's help and who needs salvation. And why did she do that? Why did she hide these spies? Well, that's the third point, Rahab's fear. Rahab's fear. Look at verse 8. Before the spies went to sleep that night, Rahab went up on the roof to talk with them. "I know the Lord has given you this land," she told them. "We are all afraid of you. Everyone in the land is living in terror. For we have heard how the Lord made a dry path for you through the Red Sea when you left Egypt. And we know what you did to Sihon and Og, the two Amorite kings east of the Jordan River, whose people you completely destroyed. No wonder our hearts have melted in fear. No one has the courage to fight after hearing such things. For the Lord your God is the supreme God of the heavens above and the earth below. Now swear to me by the Lord that you will be kind to me and my family since I have helped you. Give me some guarantee that when Jericho is conquered, you will let me live along with my father and mother, my brothers and sisters, and all their families. We offer our own lives as a guarantee for your safety," the men agreed. "If you don't betray us, we will keep our promise and be kind to you when the Lord gives us the land." So the reason that Rahab's did this feat of hiding the spies was because of Rahab's fear. She feared the Lord. It says in verse 8, "I know," not "I hope" or "I think" or "it could be" that the Lord has given you this land. She goes, "I know that the Lord has given you this land. I know that your God is somebody to be feared. I know that. And I've heard about the Lord and what he's been doing for Israel." She said in verse 10 there, "For we have heard how the Lord did this and did that." Can I tell you, we need to tell what the Lord has done. As children of God, we need to tell what God has done. We need to give testimony to what God has done and what he is doing in our lives. Testimonies are important in God's working in people's hearts. They are tools in God's hands, like a jackhammer on a hard heart. Our testimonies break down the resistance. I think of Stephen there. We talked about him a little bit in Sunday school. I believe it was last week that, he was being stoned and Saul was right there giving approval. Saul was right there hearing the testimony and seeing the testimony of God's life and work in the person of Stephen. And it got a hold of Saul's heart. I believe that's one of the reasons that Saul was saved. Not only the Damascus road when the Lord appeared to him, but I believe in his mind he could never forget the picture and the words of Stephen as he was being stoned when he said, "Lord, don't hold this sin to their charge." And so our testimonies are important. We need to talk about what God has done. At your job, you need to give witness to the Lord and testify to your family, to friends, to the people that you know, give testimony of the Lord, because the Lord can use those testimonies in bringing about people's salvation. She just did not fear for her own life. She feared for her family. Verses 12 and 13 talks about how that she is concerned about her family and her mother and her father, her brothers and sisters, concerned about what's going to happen to them. I think as believers, we need to be concerned about our family. Amen? Are you concerned about your family, your children, your grandchildren, brothers, sisters, parents? Be concerned about them and know that God's word is true. And we must spread the word that Jesus is coming. We must spread the word that judgment is also coming. Jesus is coming, and along with that, the Bible says that judgment is coming upon the world. The Lord, yes, he will save those who call upon him, but guess what? He is not going to save those who don't. There is judgment coming on people that don't get their heart right with God. And that's not always pleasant to talk about. People don't want to hear about hell. People don't want to hear about judgment. They just want to hear all the good stuff. But just as God is good and right and has heaven and eternity and salvation for those who call upon him, those who don't call upon him, he has judgment. Judgment will one day come upon the world. And so we must spread that news and that testimony and that truth about the Lord. Knowing that Jesus is coming, knowing that there's judgment coming, should produce a healthy fear of God in our lives and a heavy concern for those we love that are not ready. A healthy fear and a heavy concern. That's how we should live our lives. How would we live our lives differently if we knew within the next 24 hours that Jesus was coming? Or that something was going to take place, some kind of judgment or some sort of storm or whatever? How would we live our lives? Would it be business as usual, or would we be picking up the phone and calling people or going and seeing somebody that we are concerned about? I want to tell you, we need to have a healthy fear and a heavy concern that the Lord is going to use us to touch our world. Rahab knew, and she prepared for the day of destruction. She heard about the Lord. There was testimony of what the Lord could do, and then she began to prepare. She began to watch out for herself and for her family, and that leads to point four, Rahab's faith. Rahab's faith. Look up, continue the story, verse 15. It says, "Then, since Rahab's house was built into the town wall, she let them down by a rope through the window. Escape to the hill country," she told them. "Hide there for 3 days from the men searching for you. Then when they have returned, you can go on your way." Before they left, the men told her, "We will be bound by the oath we have taken only if you follow these instructions. When we come into the land, you must leave the scarlet rope hanging from the window through which you let us down. And all your family members, your father, mother, brothers, and all your relatives must be here inside the house. If they go out into the street and are killed, it will not be our fault. But if anyone lays a hand on people inside this house, we will accept the responsibility for their death. If you betray us, however, we are not bound by this oath in any way." So Rahab had some instructions. They said, "You have to take the rope that you let us down, and you have to leave that hanging from your window. And the second thing is, every one of the family members that you are concerned about, when Jericho falls and when judgment comes on Jericho, they have to be in your house. If they are not in your house, they will not be saved. They are on their own." And so Rahab's faith led to her deeds, not only of hiding the spies in the roof there, but also to putting the rope out the window and getting her house. She was instructed to tie the scarlet cord in the window and be sure everyone was in her house. And we know that Jericho was destroyed. Everything in Jericho was destroyed. Outside the house, you were on your own, but inside the house, there was safety. When destruction came and Jericho fell, the only thing that mattered, everybody say, the only thing that mattered. The only thing that mattered was the scarlet cord in the window. That was the only thing that mattered. And that the family was in her house. Good deeds didn't save her. No remember the spies signs would do. None of those things. It was her act of having that scarlet cord in the window that would save her and her family from destruction. The same when Jesus comes back again. All the times you came to church, all the things you did in giving in the offering, maybe all the classes you taught, all the songs you sang, all the good deeds, all of those things that we do that are a part of church and that are a part of doing good in this world won't matter. What matters is the scarlet cord of Jesus' blood. That's the only thing. All those other things are great and they're wonderful and they flow out of our relationship. Because you can't ever get the cart before the horse, or you can't get the train engine before the boxcars. The train engine is faith. The boxcars are deeds that follow our faith. A lot of people in other religions, they line up all the boxcars of good deeds so that they can be accepted and have faith at the end. so that they can be saved. There's a lot of religions that they base their being worthy. They're worthy of salvation if they do all these things. You know, over the Muslims, boy, if they give their life as a martyr, you know, and that's why these guys don't have any problem strapping a bomb on their chest and flying a jet into a building, knowing they're going to die. But they know that if they give their life, if they do, they're going to get eternal life. The Mormons, they do all these good deeds so that they can somehow measure up. But that isn't the way it works. Faith follows deeds, or faith, deeds follow faith. Faith doesn't follow deeds. And so the thing that mattered was when she did what they said and she put the cord in the window. And when Jesus comes back again, all the things that we've done isn't going to matter except for the blood of Jesus that's been applied to our hearts. The only difference between Rahab and her neighbors and her friends was the scarlet cord of redemption. That was the only difference on the day. People in our world today are offered many cords or ropes of success. Oh, boy, if you'll just do this, you'll make all this money, your name will be great. And Satan has all these different ropes of fame and success out there. You just need to climb this rope, climb this ladder, and you'll have it made. And they climbed the ladder of success to find out it was leaning on the wrong building. When it all comes down, the only cord that will matter is the scarlet cord of Christ's blood. None of the other things matter. None of the other things that people get so enthralled in and involved in will matter. And I'm sure that Rahab was ridiculed, you know, maybe even by her family. You know, they say, hey, she would be telling them, hey, Jericho's going to be destroyed. God fights for Israel, and this place is going to be destroyed. It's already been decreed, and her family would probably look at her and go, you know, or her friends say, have you seen how strong and fortified these walls are? Jericho is a strong, fortified city. It's nearly indestructible. These Israelites don't stand a chance against these walls. We're okay. We're safe. You don't believe those two spies, do you? You don't believe those two preachers of doom, do you? We have that in our world today. Didn't you see? You know, this is 2022. Come on, you can't believe the Bible anymore. Come on, that's an old, antiquated book that has no truth in it. Surely, tell me you don't believe the Bible, people say. It's childish to still obey the Ten Commandments. And on, people say these things and ridicule. You go to church, come on, you still believe that old-fashioned stuff? You got to get with the new. You got to get with what's happening now. You know, all that stuff is old-fashioned. You still believe marriage is one man and one woman forever? You still believe that? Don't you know there's all kinds of genders now? Our world has gone nuts. And yes, the Bible is still true. And I'm sure a lot of people ridiculed Rahab. What do you got that scarlet cord hanging out there for? Because I want to be saved, because destruction's coming and I don't want to be lost. I want to be saved and my family. What? What's that going to matter? People don't understand. But Rahab held fast the profession of her faith, just like we have to. In spite of the ridicule, in spite of the world screaming other things that you know are against the Bible, and trying to get us to believe it, and trying to get our children to believe it, we have to hold fast the profession of our faith. And you know what? It paid off. It paid off. One of these days, church is going to pay off by believing in Jesus. You might be ridiculed now. People may make fun of you being old-fashioned, or people might think, how can you do this or do that or whatever, or why do you give money to your church, or why do you not go just fishing and hanging out on Sunday? Why do you still go to church? Why do you do all these things? But you know what? One day it's going to pay off. And we're going to go be with the Lord. And it paid off in her day. Look over a couple of chapters, Joshua 6. Now the gates of Jericho were tightly shut because the people were afraid of the Israelites. No one was allowed to go out or in. But the Lord said to Joshua, I have given you Jericho, its king, and all its strong warriors. You and your fighting men should march around the town once a day for 6 days. 7 priests will walk ahead of the ark, each carrying a ram's horn. On the 7th day, you are to march around the town 7 times with the priests blowing the horns. When you hear the priests give one long blast on the ram's horns, have all the people shout as loud as they can. Then the walls of the town will collapse and the people can charge straight into the town. So Joshua called together the priests and said, take up the ark of the Lord's covenant and assign 7 priests to walk in front of it, each carrying a ram's horn. Then he gave orders to the people, march around the town, and the armed men will lead the way in front of the ark of the Lord. And we know that's what happened. Look down to verse, we'll skip some verses here. Verse 20. When the people heard the sound of the ram's horns, they shouted as loud as they could. Suddenly the walls of Jericho collapsed, and the Israelites charged straight into the town and captured it. They completely destroyed everything in it with their swords, men and women, young and old, cattle, sheep, goats, and donkeys. What happened to Rahab? Well, that leads to point 5, Rahab's future. Pick up there at verse 22. Meanwhile, Joshua said to the 2 spies, keep your promise. Go to the prostitute's house and bring her out along with all her family. The men who had been spies went in and brought out Rahab, her father, mother, brothers, and all the other relatives who were with her. They moved her whole family to a safe place near the camp of Israel. Then the Israelites burned the town and everything in it. Only the things made from silver, gold, bronze, or iron were kept for the treasury of the Lord's house. So Joshua spared Rahab the prostitute and her relatives who were with her in the house because she had hidden the spies Joshua sent to Jericho, and she lives among the Israelites to this day. Rahab was saved. Her household was saved. All who belonged to her were saved. Evidently, she kept the scarlet cord in the window. She kept the faith, and her future was, and she was saved, and she lived among God's people all the rest of her life. She found out that God keeps his word. God kept his word to her, and he keeps his word to everyone who believes. But guess what? God keeps his word to those who don't believe too. Either way, God keeps his word. She had a wonderful future. She was spared. All of her family was spared along with her, but her friends and other people that I'm sure she knew for generations all passed away that lived there in Jericho. She changed her life. She became a believer. And that led and leads to her fame. Point 6, Rahab's fame. Matthew chapter 1. Interesting. Verse 5 and 6. Salmon was the father of Boaz, whose mother was who? Rahab. Boaz was the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth. Obed was the father of Jesse. Jesse was the father of King David. David was the father of Solomon, whose mother was Bathsheba, the widow of Uriah. So her faith led to her being a part of the lineage of Jesus himself. She became the mother of Boaz and the great, great grandmother of King David. Wow, what a marvelous story of God's love and grace. So yes, in conclusion, Rahab had many faults. Guess what? We do too. She did a few righteous feats as God was forming in her a godly fear, which led to her saving faith. This in turn gave her a wonderful future and even a claim to fame as she made a decision to take hold of the scarlet cord of redemption, Jesus Christ. Have you taken hold of the scarlet cord of redemption today? Have you invited Jesus Christ into your heart to be your personal Savior? I urge you today, don't delay another day. Don't wait for another opportunity, for the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Back 26 years ago, it was the year 1996, made a trip to Idaho to see my grandpa and grandma. My grandpa was 76 at the time. He just turned 76 that July, and we were out there about that time. But he had found out that he had, I believe it was pancreatic cancer, and didn't have long to live. My grandpa Lance was a wonderful man, wonderful provider, wonderful for his family. There was just one problem. He didn't know Jesus. But in and through the disease of cancer and through the prayers of his family, we were able to lead him to the Lord. And I actually got the chance to baptize him when I was out there. Because of all of the tubes connected to him and all of that, he couldn't get in a baptistry like that, so I got to be a Methodist preacher for a little bit. I got a bowl of water and we sprinkled him in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And he was saved. And then later in the year, I think around October, he passed away just 2 or 3 months later. Another marvelous story of God's grace. God worked on him, worked on his heart. Today, one day I'll see him again in heaven because of the love and the grace of Almighty God. He took hold of that scarlet cord called Jesus, and today he's in heaven. We serve a loving, amazing God. All the stories, just this one, and there's hundreds of other stories in the Bible that typify and explain and symbolize the love of God, the grace of God. We could talk about the prodigal son. We could talk about all the different things in the Bible and stories that all point to the cross, that all point to the blood of Jesus. Have you asked Jesus into your heart today? Do you have family members that don't know the Lord that need to ask Jesus in their heart? Maybe just something you say to one of your family members at some point. I talked about her testimony a while ago. Maybe the thing that saves their life at the end. You know, God doesn't need an hour and a half to save somebody, does he? When somebody knows they're dying, just at that moment, they can say, Jesus. And he sees their heart. Remember me. The thief on the cross said, remember me. Two words. And then he died. So we've got to live it, preach it, show it to our family and friends so that they'll know it when the time comes. Father in heaven, I thank you, Lord, for this day. I thank you, Lord, for each and every one here. Lord, I don't know why you led me to preach on this message this morning of salvation, but Lord, I know that it's for a reason. And I know there's somebody that needed to hear the message of Rahab today and the grace and the mercy and the love that you displayed in her heart and life as you chased after her and as she put her faith in you. Lord, may we all examine our hearts today and say, Jesus, Lord, I want to make sure you're the Lord and Savior of my life. With heads bowed and eyes closed this morning, is there one you would say, Pastor Steve, I don't know that I'm right with the Lord, but I want to know that today. Would you just lift up your hand, put it down, say, pray for me. Thank you, I see that hand. Anyone else this morning? Thank you, I see that hand. Hallelujah. Anyone else? You just want to pray today. Thank you, I see that hand. Hallelujah. Thank you, I see that hand. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'm just going to invite you. The worship team is going to sing a song here. And as they come, I just want to open these altars. Those of you that raise your hand, I'd love for you just to find a place at the altar. Those of you that didn't raise your hand, I'd love for you to find a place to pray too. You know what? That'll do a couple of things. That'll be good for you, and it'll be good for those coming forward to feel more comfortable in coming forward, because several people will be coming forward to pray. And then I would just like to pray with all of us, but as and especially those who need salvation today, we will find a time to pray and time to pray with you. Let's find a place to pray here.
Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood? In the soul?
If you would like special prayer, and you raised your hand, or ear, if you just want prayer for something else, please find Pastor Phil or myself, and we will pray with you.
To the mind, as a creator.
Take a moment here and pray for your family. Just lift up your family to the Lord in prayer. Family that is not right with the Lord, just lift up their names right now. Just to yourself there. Father, we just lift up names, family members, Lord, that are not right. We want them to be in the house, your house, Lord. The house that will be saved, the house that will survive the storm. The house that will be still standing after judgment has come, Lord, like Rahab's life, Father God, still intact, Lord, went on to serve you. Lord, we just pray that you bless our family. Touch them, Lord. Touch them, Lord Jesus. Move upon our sons. Move upon our daughters. Move upon our sisters and brothers. Move upon our parents, Lord. Upon our grandchildren, great-grandchildren, Lord. Move upon their hearts. We just lift them to you right now, God. Thank you, Lord. Help them, as the song said, to run to you, Lord. To run to the Father. Run to the Father, we pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Let us stand. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for this time together today. We pray that you would just help us, Lord, to continue to hold out the profession of faith, to lift you up, to be an example to our family and to our friends. Help us to realize the nearness of the hour, the nearness of your return. Help us to be about your business, Lord. Help us to pray as never before for our family and friends and neighbors who are not in the house of the Lord. God, be with us, we pray, God, today, and meet every need. In Jesus' name, amen.